Hello, I'm Chris Gibbons. Welcome to the first in this new series of podcasts. Thank you for joining me. Head northeast from Cape Town on the N1 and you'll quickly become aware of some majestic mountains. In their shadow lies some of South Africa's most historic and beautiful towns, Stellenbosch, Franschhoek and Paarl. Between those last two runs the glorious Berg River, which gives life to so many of the region's noble wine estates. And in the heart of the scenic Berg River Valley, you'll find Val d'Avie, a residential estate like no other, ranked number one in the country for the past 5 years. I spoke earlier to Val d'Avie's founder and CEO Martin Vetter, and I began by asking him where the idea of Val d'Avie had come from.
That was a long time ago, Chris. I think it was a little bit of a dream that I had since I was a young kid. And I was always passionate about property. I studied law and business, but I always had a very, I think, specific passion for property dealings and all of that. And after I finished my articles, I joined the Atterbury Group. In those days, we were very small. Literally, we were about four directors and the secretary. And that's obviously where I got my, I would say most of my property expertise from. In those days, I was still a very young guy. I was 28 at that stage. I'd just finished my studies, my MBA at Stellenbosch University. And I was a qualified attorney. And I had a fantastic opportunity to join those guys. So I think that, that was a big break for me in order to, as a young guy, get that type of exposure on quite a high level in the property industry, specifically property development industry. We focused mainly on retail and commercial developments, but I always had this more of a passion for, let's call it, I think the buzzword these days is wellness real estate and residential, luxury residential estate developments. That's also why I then started up my own company a few years later. I keep my shares in our property fund on the Atterbury side, which I later on sold just before the listing. But I then merely focused on luxury residential. I did a sabbatical for about 12 months in Europe, the US and in the UK. And I tried to understand exactly what's the differentiating criteria of, the different successful type of luxury residential estates and developments. I then came back and I started looking for the property that I dreamt about. And after about 2 years, I found it here where Val d'Avie is located today. And I purchased the property and applied for the development rights, and we commenced with construction in 2005.
So, Martin, what were the key steps in the estate's evolution?
I would say, look, initially there was quite a focus on the wine, the vineyards, the polo, the horses, etc. It evolved more towards a wellness estate in the sense of Rijk and myself spent many, many hours and days of discussions on where we want the brand, and where we, when Rijk joined me about 10 years ago, where do we see the brand going, for the next decade and decades to come. And I think for us, I always believe in keeping things very simple. So in the end, we made the decision that, the more diversified we are, the more different type of activities and facilities we offer to our market, the better we are differentiated from the rest of our competition. And I think that's essentially, that was our focus. Obviously, with with a huge focus on the whole wellness industry. In other words, nutrition. What do you eat? What do you eat in the restaurants? Your gymnasiums. We've got different types of gymnasiums. It's not only your traditional type of cardio or free weights type of gyms. We've got we moved with the latest development, the yard. We moved more towards your Fit 45. You know, the more the new age type of gymnasium feel and look and activities. What you do there. So I think it's quite a number of aspects, but in the end, it's a little bit like a big retail shopping center. You throw everything in a pot, and there must be something for everyone. And I think that's one of the key differentiating factors that made Valde be successful and sought after amongst buyers.
Go back to the early days, 2005, you launched. One of the challenges you faced surely must have been the crash of 2008.
Correct. No, it was difficult days. Luckily, we did get into the ground and we did manage to sell out our phase one before the crash. So that assisted us to at least kickstart the whole development. I always firmly believe that, you know, when you start with, you must be very careful before you commence with the development of this scale, just for the simple reason that you cannot afford mistakes. And for, you know, with other types of businesses, you can make a little bit of a mistake and you can change it. With an estate like this, when you commence and when you're into the ground, it's big money that you're spending, and you cannot reverse. So in other words, you must be very, very, very careful with your feasibility and especially your assumptions with regards to risk and risk, financial risk management before you commence. But I think that's sort of what saved us. I always believed in a very conservative financial management model in the sense of that we don't spend money on things if we don't know where the income stream is going to come from. So in other words, you'll never find me building a golf course or polo fields or gymnasiums or all of that if it's not covered by at least our pre-sales for that specific phase. So in other words, we structure the whole company is structured in the sense that our financial risk management is very conservative, and essentially there's very little financial risk in our model because of our conservative approach, our step-by-step phased approach with everything. And we also, I think what we've seen all over the world the past decade is these type of estates, the reason why most of them were liquidated are on account of the fact that the developers made serious debt on the initial land purchase. And my philosophy is that's where your equity comes in. You must buy your land with cash. That must be equity funded without debt. And that's a very conservative approach that saved us during the financial crash of 2008, 2009.
Now, at that point, you didn't have a golf course. You didn't have Pearl Valley. Was that also a factor? Because a lot of estates have run into big trouble with golf.
Yes, I don't think it's not necessarily the golf. The interesting thing is, Chris, with all these type of estates, you can easily spend the same amount of money on gymnasiums and green areas and polo fields and equestrian centres, etc. It's more about the phased conservative step-by-step approach in your feasibility to manage your costs, to know exactly what's your worst-case scenario and whether you can live with that. And I think that's, you know, how I argue. And always when we, especially with the projects that we're now looking at in Europe and the US, we don't do a lot of, you can't afford in any case to do quite a number of these type of projects. Just because it's so highly specialized that you need a lot of manpower and it's specialized manpower. But you have to do it very conservatively and step by step in order to eliminate financial risk.
Then you did acquire Pearl Valley. Where did that fit into the plan?
Yeah, so if you look at the layout of Val d'Vie, when I commenced with Val d'Vie in 2005, Pearl Valley was already established. You could play the golf course at that stage. So we were a little bit behind them. I think the mistake that they made, and that's why Dubai World ran into trouble during the financial crisis, was their model and their brand. The brand wasn't correctly positioned. They positioned themselves as this elitist estate that's almost focused on offshore buyers, close to France Rouge, there far off in the valley. They succeeded in positioning the brand in that way, but I think what they completely misunderstood was the size of the market for that. So I think with Val d'Vie, I realized that I, in order to launch it successfully, I had to position the estate as a primary residence node. So in other words, a place where you buy a house where you and your family can live, but also where you can work from, where you're close to schools, where you're close to hospitals, 60 kilometers away from the Cape Town CBD and International Airport. All of those factors are extremely important. And we created a community life. So with our surveys, when we ask people, especially in those days when Pearl Valley started running into trouble and we started, playing around with the idea of buying Pearl Valley, it was obvious for us when we looked at our surveys because at that stage, I think for every one property that Pearl Valley sold, we sold about 10 properties at the premium price of around about 30%. And there's nothing wrong with Pearl Valley. Not even at that stage. The facilities were always fantastic. It's a fantastic golf course and all of that. It was just, I think, that Dubai World just, they didn't position the brand correctly and manage that correctly. And I think that's where we were different. And people prefer to buy into a community lifestyle in Val d'Vie, close to schools, hospitals and all of that, instead of investing in a golf estate far off in the valley close to France Rouge. Although we were actually right next door to each other, but it actually shows you the difference that branding can make to a specific product.
What role is played in all of this by security?
In South Africa, security is I think let's look at Val d'Vie. I think our main attributes are obviously security, a high level of security, although not visibly. You don't want people to feel that they're living in a prison. So you have to do it very subtly, but you need to have state-of-the-art military specification of thermal cameras and a very, very high level of security, but also a privacy. That's very important. I think that's two of the main factors that we focus on in everything that we do at Val d'Vie.
So who then are the typical residents of Val d'Vie? Because it's also an estate that has an unusual mix of properties, from what I'd describe as entry level, all the way to these fabulous gentlemen's estates. What was the thinking there?
So Val d'Vie is almost like a little town. It's almost like it functions at this stage. We in total, I think we're the last count, we're around about in excess of 4,000 people living on the estate now. As you know, we've sold in the order of 2,200 properties in total. So there's 2,200 residential units. That gives you around about 1 million square meters of buildable area that's completed. So it's a small little town on its own. And I think the you know, the important thing is to just everything that you do, you must focus on the community life as to what you create for the people. So in other words, and that's not only about facilities, it's also about the qualitative things, you know, the your management team, how do they interact with it, with the various homeowners, and it's quite a number of aspects, you know, that you need to take into account. So so mostly local buyers. We get a lot of people from Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, from all over, literally. But I would say most of the people are from Gauteng. We also get now these days with our security and all of that, we get a lot of traditional Cape Townians buying into the estate, especially some of your sportsmen and sports ladies who, you know, for whom we cater. We've got running trails and cycling trails on the whole of the approximately 1,000 hectares that we that falls within the security perimeter of Aldervi. So, and then I would say round about in between 20-30% foreign buyers.
Aldervi as an investment, first of all, from a homeowner's perspective.
Okay, the thing is with obviously, Chris, as we all know, the when you buy a house, it's a very personal thing. It's an emotional decision. Although I'm a developer myself, in my own house, you do different things than what you do than just building a house and renting it out. But I've always believed that, you know, if you build a house in a location that where you've got a good location, a position where or area for which you can see a future in that specific province. Anywhere in the world, when you look at the criteria that we used with the Aldervi development versus anywhere else in the world for luxury residential wellness estate developments, if you abide by these criteria, primary residence, close to schools, close to international airport, close to a city, obviously people are looking for open green spaces. That's a big thing. Whether those open green spaces are fairways of a golf course, or whether it's paddocks for horses, or whether it's just open green parks and walkways, that's irrelevant. It's about the open green space, the low density of development. So, and I think that's, you know, if you look at those criteria, you go anywhere in the world, and you'll find successful type of lifestyle and wellness estates in the outskirts of the big cities. And so from an investment point of view, I think that's your best type of residential investment that you can make. You know, if you adhere to that specific criteria that we just discussed. Obviously, if you go into a city centre, and I think you can do very well, you know, with a well located residential apartment, you know, like one of my partners are busy with, Harbour Arch. I think those type of developments, the V&A type of waterfront apartments and all of that with the lifestyle component, you know, close to everything, that's a different type of more of an urban model. But that, in my view, works very well as a longer term residential, as a good residential development and investment as well. Just like, you know, Aldervi in the outskirts, the more rural type of concept.
Martin, has it worked for your shareholders?
The shareholders, are quite happy. I always like to, when you provide people with a feasibility and with an investment case, it's always great for me to, you know, to overperform. So in other words, someone invests based on a certain investment case, and then you overperform that. Then your shareholders normally are very happy. Your shareholders normally are not happy when you present them with the investment case and their return is much substantially lower than what you initially anticipated to be. So, yes, I think it's a very nice business model and investment case.
How does Val d'Avis fit into the broader Paarl-Franchot community? Employment generated, that's obvious, but how else does it contribute to the community?
Well, I think what we focus on with Val d'Avis too, we don't see ourselves as a little island here in the middle of nowhere. We believe in uplifting the community around you. We involved through the Val d'Avis Foundation, along with a number of other NGOs. We involved in about 30 active projects here in the valley, ranging from food schemes to all sorts of. We try to focus on the needs, on the basic, on where's the genuine needs, and we focus on that and. It's as you said correctly. It's about job creation. Right? I think currently we employ around about directly and indirectly on the estate. There's about in excess of 4,000 people being employed. So then I haven't even counted the temporary jobs like with the during the construction phase of houses and the indirect benefits of that to subcontractors and all of that. So it's an immense, an estate like this is an immense positive impact on a specific area and the surrounding community and I think the socioeconomic upliftment of the whole area. So you'll also notice with our Val d'Avis magazine, we brand the valley as a whole. We are here, we are part of the valley, we fall under Paarl municipality, but this is a much bigger valley, and we try and focus on marketing the Cape Winelands, with all our marketing efforts under Bereik Netling's leadership.
So how do you see the future of the estate?
I think we're going to carry on with the specific focus on wellness. Wellness has been identified as one of the trends for the next few decades. There's some articles and authors reckon that the wellness industry is currently where the IT industry was in the early 90s, in that stage of development. So we foresee that you're going to see a huge growth, among wellness real estate during the next few decades. And with wellness real estate, I'm not only referring to your traditional concept of the spa with the hotel and the gymnasium where you get and a few little things. It's more of a holistic approach. You're looking at nutrition. It's about how you live on a daily basis, your mental wellness. How do you function within your community? So it's very much of a more of a holistic approach to wellness than I think 2 or 3 decades ago with your traditional concept of wellness. And I think that's our main focus. And obviously within that, as you know, we've got an evergreen retirement village here, which is doing very well. We're very excited about the whole evergreen retirement village concept here within Val d'Avis. As I said earlier, we offer something to everyone.
At the beginning of the interview, you told me about your commercial background, but what about at a personal level? How do you use your own estate?
I always we always joke amongst the directors and shareholders and say that we actually created developed the estate for ourselves. We just needed a few thousand other families to make it feasible. So most of the directors, Chris, live here on the estate with their families. We believe in the concept. Because for the simple reason, if it doesn't work for us, how can we expect it to work for other people? So we love living here on the estate. I don't think my kids would be very disappointed if we had to leave at some stage. And we don't foresee doing that. This is our home. This is where we live. This is where we work from. yes, we'll do be busy with other projects as well, but this will always be the flagship and our home.
But do you cycle? Do you run? Do you gym? What are your pastimes and hobbies?
I play polo. I used to be a squash player in my younger days at university, but these days I merely focus on. I go to the gym. I jog a little bit. I very much enjoy my polo.
And there we left it, a glimpse into the origins of one of South Africa's most beautiful and most secure lifestyle estates. I was talking to its founder and CEO, Martin Venter. I'm Chris Gibbons, and until the next in our series of podcasts about Val d'Vie, thank you for listening.